Good morning, everybody. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday. It is 37 degrees and overcast today. Hopefully I'm broadcasting. We don't have any technical difficulties. Yesterday was a big cluster F, but it was a Monday, so that's what happened. Sorry about that. I never actually even made it back to the archive to try and salvage the two pieces that were recorded before the server unexpectedly shut down by itself and rebooted. I don't know if I get some time today. I had too much stuff going on yesterday. Interesting with the technical glitches. You know, we've talked about this before and we've seen evidence of this where we'll go for a long time and not have any issues. And then all of a sudden, like, all kinds of weird things start happening. The day before, we had the mysterious internet outage the second that I was offline that continued for 2.5 hours until I arrived home. So hopefully, knock on wood, today will be okay. But if not, hey, you know what? Like I say before, it's free. So what are you going to do about it? And speaking of free, it's not free. There's cost that's associated with it. And I know my show was so broken up yesterday. So, and I don't have the archive up. So, if the ladies who donated to the network are listening and they didn't hear it yesterday, I want to say a huge thank you to both of you. It was greatly appreciated. I just had some big bills for the network to cover as far as domain and hosting and equipment that broke. So that was very much appreciated and it went to very good use. So thank you very much, ladies. Anyone else out there who would like to be a part of the cause that I fight so hard for every day, it would be a nice gesture anyway. Make me feel like I'm not doing this all by myself. All right. So speaking about doing it by myself, I think we are going to change gears a little bit today. Yesterday, I started getting into Large Hadron Collider. I was so beat. I mean, remember, we were just coming off of vacation week, so I had been cruise director all week. We were out of town, too, so it was a long-ass drive back. And my kitchen ceiling that had been leaking water after the 7 feet of snow all melted everywhere was being ripped out while I was gone. And so that was pretty bad, too. So thank God I come back. Actually, I have to say it wasn't too bad of a mess. And my leak is fixed. The walls are fixed. So I'm pretty happy about that. But, yeah, just major, major discombobulation for the last 10 days. I mean, everything had to come out of all the cupboards. And, I mean, it was, you know how bad it is, especially with drywall, how awful that is with the dust and everything. I'm still actually trying to recover from that. We need a good dusting, but not today. Anyway, so I'm trying to get back into the saddle. I got some things I need to decide here very shortly with the network. And I don't know. It's just been too much. So let's change gears. Yesterday I started with Large Hadron Collider. I was pretty burned out. Trying to have a conversation about that, but that's just like way too deep for first thing in the morning with like 3 sips of coffee. And then I have no idea what I talked about the rest of the show, to be completely honest, after we had the outage. But today, some things I was thinking about last night and looking at a few of these stories. You know, we've been talking about the PSYOP that they're playing on us. And how they manipulate us with brain chemicals and how they use the science of fear to get us to all run into a corner and cower. Well, there definitely is some new, well, I wouldn't say new, but a ramp up in the social engineering that's been happening here recently. Two different strains that I've been noticing. One, of course, is the fear of some sort of horrible pathogen, I think, is definitely coming. You know, we've played this one over and over again between the bird flu, the swine flu, the Ebola, the whooping cough. I mentioned that yesterday. I see now, and if we scroll down here just a little bit, I want to find that story because they're warning of this global antibiotic-resistant superbug now. That I thought it said is in now 32 states And keep your eye on the ball in this one, people, because remember, I mentioned it yesterday, but we've talked about it a whole bunch of times with the new executive order. And I believe it was like $1.2 billion that Obama pledged in combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And in that executive order that he inked back in July in regards to this, he had even mentioned pneumonia, anything that would make you, the adult, who maybe isn't vaccinated, a risk to the larger population, is going to get you quarantined. Now, I did a story way back when with that, I don't remember her name, even Carrie something, the border without doctors doctor, or maybe she was even just an aide over in one of the Ebola-stricken countries. She had been exposed. They flew her back here, and they forced her into quarantine. And it really was challenged looking at the double-edged sword. I mean, yes, if somebody potentially has a life-threatening pathogen, you definitely would want them to be quarantined at least until you knew that they were safe, I would think. I mean, as the individual who potentially was infected, I would, out of just my moral code, would want to protect everybody else around me and not get them sick if I potentially was sick. So when that whole situation came up where she didn't want to stay in quarantine and was having a temper tantrum, and then it became whether or not it was her right to stay in quarantine or not, you know, that really raised some ethical questions, because nobody wants to be forced into a FEMA camp by the police state, especially if they correctly or incorrectly decide that you have some sort of infectious pathogen, you know, and I mean, man-made or not, right? Natural or unnatural. You know, it's very easy to all of a sudden make you go poof. Oh, look, he's got anthrax, you know, and little do you know it came in your mail 3 days ago after that black van drove away, you know. But on the other hand, so you know, we all have rights. Who wants to be told by the police state, by the controllers, that we need to follow their laws to the point of losing your personal freedoms? But on the other hand, like I've said many times before, see, our society has lost their ethical code. Back when we were kids, back when our grandparents were kids, everybody worked hard, right? They lived through the Depression. They lived through the production line, right? The after the war, oh, what the hell do you call it? Ford, you know what I mean. The assembly line. The Industrial Revolution. When they all worked hard, you got a good job, you got a good paycheck, and you did what was right. And you cared about your neighbors, and you loved your family, and you all had dinner together, right? It was before the destruction of Americana. But that doesn't exist anymore. And we've looked at many of the different symptoms. A lot of the psychopathy that's going on right now in society is all directly related to that. And that loss of the concentric circles that held us together as the American society, the concentric circles that made us America. We were an inclusive group. You know, I mean, we had our differences, obviously, throughout our history with different types of groups being ostracized and you know, divided out and made inferior over others. But you know what? We got through that. I think generally, as a whole, the American family unit was in much better shape then than it is now, despite all of our political correctness. I'm going to whine about my cause to the general public because you're making fun of me or poking fingers. Like, I just can't get over how overly sensitive, big, overly sensitive babies people are today. And everybody is just professionally appalled. You know, this professionally appalled makes you the center of attention, because now, oh, well, they picked on me. Oh, well, they said something that hurt my feelings. Oh, you know, and it's symptoms of this narcissistic, psychopathic bullshit that's going on. This psyop, this grooming that they have formed through Bernays, through developing the manufacturing that then they needed to create a consumer that bought endlessly. That's where this whole mental game came from that they duped the American public with. Buy, buy, consume, consume, buy, buy, consume, consume. And as you do that, you're looking at your neighbors to make sure that you have more and yours is better. And that then puts you on the pedestal that gets you to chase the dangling carrot, that gets the dopamine flowing in your brain, that gets your brain to require more dopamine. And what do we find out? As your brain requires more dopamine, starts to increase that side of the brain that then requires more dopamine. And that generally now they have discovered is exactly how psychopaths are formed. I'm sure that there are many ways that psychopaths are formed, but they think that that actually the dopamine, the inability to get enough dopamine, is one of the main things that's going on in a psychopath's brain. So we've created, between the media, the shopping, the video games, the devices, it's just endless. Just go on and on and on. We've created this now probably the last two generations, I would say. The generations that didn't know the world pre-computer. The generations that don't know how to disconnect. We've created two generations of psychopaths. So as we are now spinning out of control, what I want to look at here is how they are playing us with some of these fear mechanisms. So one, like I talked about, Ebola, quarantines, whether or not it is your personal right to defy quarantine. You know, recently Ebola just popped back up on the global stage. It got real quiet again, but it was right as some of these human clinical trials for these experimental drugs, which hadn't been approved in humans until, whoops, we had a crisis. So now all of a sudden we have to approve them in the name of national security or in the name of humanity, God forbid. You know, we started all this testing, and just as that testing started, we had Ebola pop back up, raging in Sierra Leone and Guinea and maybe it was Liberia as well. There were like three African countries. So then we get the story. And like I said, we had this whole federal thing with Obama. They put all this money now into antibiotic resistant bacteria. You know, you could be quarantined for anything that even resembles pneumonia because you will be a threat to the majority. They now, I think I mentioned this yesterday, I had been listening to a show, and I think it was Hal talking about some news from last week where, and I'd mentioned it yesterday, I did, where I'd run across two documents for doctor's offices where there are now standing orders for adults. There's this big adult vaccination program that is being launched that is going to run through 2020. So that gives us the next 5 years. But when you go to your doctor's office, regardless of what it is, for a checkup, for a broken finger, for not feeling well, one of the first things that they're going to do is go through and make sure they line you up for the vaccinations that they believe you need boosters on. Remember, there were some, especially back in the 60s, there were some illnesses that we were vaccinated against that they discovered that maybe the vaccines weren't as effective as they should have been. Measles was one. I had mentioned that back in the late 80s, early 90s that I had actually come down with measles in college. And then I discovered when I was digging into it after the Disney World measles outbreak, don't forget that one, it ruined Sally and Johnny's vacation. So it became a national discussion about how your kids caused my kids measles, when actually it's very possibly the other way around. Remember, when you get a vaccine, you shed the virus, depending on what type of vaccine it is, number one, and whether or not it's live or attenuated. You can shed the virus for days or weeks at a time until your immune system kicks it into gear and clears it out. That swine flu vaccine was like that when they did the intranasal. I remember having a discussion with one of my friends, and her kids all got that intranasal swine flu vaccine. I wouldn't let her kids get anywhere near my kid because there was no way. I mean, her kids are shedding that pathogen until their immune systems knock it all out. You know, even if you look at so many different studies, and the measles had a few different types, right? There was the wild measles, which anyone unvaccinated would have and spread. And then there was the, what would you call it? The engineered measles that were a part of the vaccine. And, you know, when they really started this national debate now to get parent against parent, this is a new divisiveness that they're trying to create. So now parents, like I said, your children are probably your most important, I wouldn't even call them an asset, your most important beloved item on your list of things. If you had to look at what your most precious things are that you have around you, your children would be probably at the very top of that list. And so this whole measles outbreak situation was a massive full frontal assault on the American public. It got parent against parent. Don't mind the Common Core bullshit that's going on in school. Don't mind that we just found another sexual predator that was, you know, teaching at your school district, preying on your children on Craigslist. No, don't pay attention to that. Don't mind that we're killing children with drone bombs all over the Middle East, or allowing Israel to slaughter five-year-olds in Palestine. Don't pay attention to any of that. Pay attention to the fact that your next-door neighbor didn't get the measles vaccine for their kids, and so they are a threat to you. Go get them, Sally. And they've just, this whole concept of neighbor against neighbor, you know, we saw this all really begin with Department of Homeland Security, 9/11, Manit Napolitano, see something, say something. It could be, you know, there's an Al-Qaeda in every pot and an Al-Qaeda under every bed. And just make sure you call the 1-888 number and we'll give you your Walmart gift card. I mean, they've been fostering that type of mentality now for quite a number of years. You know, the gun debate and whether or not, you know, assault rifles should be allowed, and oh, let's now register and get everyone to step up and expose themselves. Oh, what? Your neighbor has a gun? Your neighbor might be mentally unstable? You know, this whole mental instability thing is now the new red button issue, pointing out who's stable or unstable. Oh, what? Your neighbor was radicalized over looking at new ideas on the internet? Well, they might be ISIS. You know, they really have taken this now to a complete, absolutely utter, ridiculous level that I now want to point out to you, looking at a few of these stories over the last couple of days. So in regards to being afraid of the pathogen that they are eventually going to line us all up for, and I will guarantee you that the majority of the stupid public is just going to line up, open their mouths and say, ah, is they're giving them whatever experimental drug they are told is going to save them this time. Says Shigella, and I've heard of this before. I did not realize that this was a super bug. Shigella, you find a lot in water, I believe. That was one of the pathogens. If you get yourself one of those Steripens, I mentioned those before. I had one of my shit hit the fan kit. It's a little ultraviolet. I mean, it almost looks like an electronic thermometer, actually, if you want to know. But it's called a Steripen, Steripen. It's portable. It's got a couple little batteries in it. I mean, if you want it to last longer than a couple batteries, I recommend getting yourself some AA rechargeables with a solar charger. But the Steripen uses ultraviolet light to kill pathogens in water, and I'm pretty sure that Shigella was one of them that I had read about. So let's just read this quick. An intestinal bug, Shigella sonnei, has spread via international travelers to 32 states and Puerto Rico. U.S. health officials say the bacteria has largely resisted the main drugs used to combat it. Between May of 2014 and February of 2015, a drug Wow, so within the last 8 months or so, right around the time that we also saw the Ebola ramp up, how nice that that just coincides so perfectly. Between May of 2014 and February of 2015, a drug-resistant strain of Shigella has infected 243 people across the U.S., according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC's findings were first published in the agency's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. You know, there's a link to that here. After Fukushima, we had been watching that report to see whether or not West Coast infant deaths increased. And it was very interesting that that report, or at least their yearly deaths report, didn't appear for like the next 2 years. I guess the numbers are out now. Lauren Moray, did some research on that and got her hands on some numbers. And I believe so did Joseph Morgano. I had heard an interview with him that I think Libby even interviewed him about that. And the numbers are sky high now for infant mortality in the West Coast. But definitely something to look at. The Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report on the CDC's website. I will drop the story in the chat when I'm done here. There's a link to it in there. And after the show, I will put this into the notes on the archive on YouTube. It says the CDC found that 90% of cases of the shigellosis infection analyzed in Massachusetts, California, and Pennsylvania were resistant to ciprofloxacin, which is Cipro, the top shigellosis antibiotic in the U.S. Cipro is also what they use to treat you for anthrax inhalation as well. So interesting. And Cipro is also the antibiotic that causes that massive problem with your Achilles tendon. Anyone who's taken Cipro knows that they've had issues. I myself ran into the same thing, that they have had issues with their Achilles tendon after that. And there is now a black box warning on Cipro about that. Personally, I think it's a class action lawsuit waiting to happen because they fucked up a lot of people giving them this new, you know, new and improved antibiotic. Oh, but it'll save you from getting killed, but it'll fuck up your Achilles tendon for the rest of your life and make it very hard for you to exercise and keep yourself in shape. Gee, there's no agenda there. The agency found that the potent cipro-resistant strain was repeatedly introduced as ill travelers returned and then was affecting other people in a series of outbreaks across the country. Many Shigella strains in the U.S. were already considered to advance for other drugs, including ampicillin and sulfamethoxazole, which I've taken that too. I'm very allergic to that crap. The CDC added that shigellosis spreads quickly among nursing homes, childcare facilities, homeless people, gay and bisexual men, as occurred in these outbreaks. So be afraid, be very afraid, because people with diarrhea are now going to be the next Typhoid Mary. I saw that there also is an outbreak of listeriosis, I believe it was, in that Bluebell ice cream. You know, that's been going on for a while. Someone in chat said that they bought some. Now they shut down the whole plant. I don't remember which plant it was. Maybe it was Oklahoma, Tennessee. They shut down the entire plant to try to figure out where the bacteria is coming from. But, you know, notice how we are seeing this increase like never before, and it's all being blamed on antibiotic resistance. And I'm not going to say that they didn't overprescribe antibiotics, because they most certainly did. Overprescription of antibiotics then causes a gut flora death. Gut flora death causes leaky gut syndrome. Leaky gut syndrome causes all kinds of autoimmune disorders. And as you're eating this GMO food loaded with glyphosate, now your body cannot properly absorb its nutrients. So it did cause this entire cascade of health problems that us as a society are now being faced with. But it isn't necessarily going to help us to restrict antibiotics to kill some of the stuff. I mean, there are ultramarines. We just saw that there was that 1,000 or 1,500-year-old Saxon remedy for antibiotic-resistant MRSA that contains garlic, onions, and honey, I believe. Now, one of the things that I'm going to tell you, garlic and onions, we've all known since the days of our grandparents that those helped keep you healthy. You walked around and you stunk a lot, but hey, you know, my dad is evidence of that. I mean, the man rarely ever gets sick. And he always said it was because of the, not just garlic and onions, but the hot peppers too. And they found that, I can't remember the hot substance. Cupidol! Actually, I don't even think I'm in chat. Let's go out there for a Cupidol. Someone tell me what the hot substance is called in hot peppers. I don't know, I'm blanking right now. It's actually good for pain as well. Bing, 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 bing. All right, I'm in chat. Somebody drop it. What's it called? Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, I guess nobody knows. Cupidol goes back into the pot. Anyway, yeah, hot peppers too. Honey. They found honey actually helps combat MRSA. Honey actually is great for all kinds of bacteria. Make sure it's local and it's organic with all that, the crunchy stuff in the honey. But I'm telling you, that stuff works great. You have any weird skin bacterial, thing cropping up, put that on. Of course, colloidal silver, 30 parts per million works really well. I didn't like the way the 200 or the 500 worked. It was too much and it all turned that funny brown color like it went rusty. So I don't think that that's any good, but 30 parts per million works really well. So anyway, you know, $1.2 billion being spent. I need to verify that number, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it was. Obama, antibiotic resistance. Here we go. I hit that story a couple weeks back, but I don't think we ever really hit it. 2016 budget proposes historic. Come on. Historic funding. Obama says overprescribing is a serious problem. We use antibiotics when they aren't needed as one of the main causes of antibiotic resistance. Has nothing to do with injecting them into all of our meats that we then consume. No. And I mean, doctors did overprescribe. You had a sniffle or a cold. And they were giving you antibiotics, and we all know that a sniffle and a cold typically are the cause of a virus, and a virus is not at all going to be affected by an antibiotic. Maybe an ancillary infection, one where you end up then with bronchitis or whatever after the fact, but it's not going to kill the virus itself. You need an antiviral for that. They are also talking about in England now, you know, and let's step up and get in line, Europe. Get right behind your controllers. The UK's National Risk Register for Civil Emergencies is warning that a widespread outbreak of an antibiotic-resistant blood infection could affect upwards of 200,000 Britons, resulting in deaths of around 80,000. It is a dire warning at the dawn of the, and here's the key word, post-antibiotic era. Guys, you already see it coming. If you remember, you used to be able to get equine and fish antibiotics very easily online. Amazon sold them. They were pretty inexpensive. You didn't need a prescription. And if you didn't have insurance, that always was a good wink-wink way to take care of Dippy the goldfish if Dippy the goldfish didn't have health insurance and had bronchitis. Wink-wink. You can't get them on Amazon anymore, and it's getting very difficult to go into any of your farm stores or to go online in the United States and find fish antibiotics anymore. You know, just like we were talking in chat a week or so ago in regards to something like codeine, let's say, some of the medications used to treat pain, some of the medications used to treat bronchitis that really weren't bad drugs. They used to give them out like candy poppers years ago, you know, back pills and whatever. And they've all clamped down on those. You can't get those anywhere without a prescription anymore in the United States. Anywhere. I still see in the UK, they have like the codeine cough syrup. And you can go order it. But the second you try to have it shipped here, they say, we're sorry, that doesn't ship to your country. In Canada, used to be able to go up and get the codeine aspirin. And somebody was telling me in chat recently that, no, you need a prescription for that in Canada as well. So I haven't confirmed that, but you didn't used to. So they're starting to crack down on all kinds of different things that, of course, they are saying it was our overuse and abuse that caused all the problems, but not necessarily so. The doctors, the drug pushers, were the ones that were incorrectly prescribing these things that then caused issues. So anyway, we have half of England is ready to die. No, I don't know. 80,000 deaths, they're warning. Oh, no, from this devastating coming outbreak. I saw another story. Hold on, let's see if we can find it. We have bubonic plague. Oh, yeah, $1.2 billion. The president's budget for fiscal 2016, which begins on October 1st, which did already, would divvy up $1.2 billion with a B for combating resistance among multiple federal agencies, an amount nearly double that for fiscal 2015. The money will go toward preventing, detecting, and controlling bacteria that are impervious to antibiotics now on the market. Such superbugs cause at least 2 million illnesses and 23,000 deaths per year, according to the CDC. Now, do you really see what's going on here? Antibiotics were an easy, somewhat natural way of using things available to us in nature to kill bad things in nature. And by getting rid of antibiotics, and like, I don't use antibiotics unless I am dying, okay? And there are times, I mean, I've had a few very bad infections where I had to get intravenous antibiotics. I had a really bad ear infection one time. I'd never had one before, so I really didn't know and kind of ignored it and ignored it and ignored it until I couldn't see out of my left eye anymore, the side that had the infection, with 104 fever, and drove myself one eye to the emergency room for my doctor and ended up there for 3 days. It was pretty awful. But, you know, I got to be at the door of death to get to that point. Here's the thing. Once they decide that they're getting rid of antibiotics, don't forget there's going to be something that $1.2 billion funded from some nefarious agency that's going to protect you next. And who, what agency did I see that's working so hard on this new antibiotic resistant technology? I'm trying to see if I can find it quick. And I lost the window. I'll have to find it, but it was DARPA. There was a brand new RFP out there from DARPA on FBO.gov looking now to find new ways with new technologies. Where the hell did it go? New ways with new technologies. Here, DARPA, BioPrep Watch. This was in BioPrep Watch News. DARPA project focuses on immunity in the fight against resistant pathogens. Gee, go figure that DARPA's getting involved. So if there's anything at all, one single thing that my listeners in the last couple years have learned from me, what is it? Don't fucking trust DARPA. Anything that they put their dirty, scary, robotic hands into, you need to run away screaming. Says the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency is developing a program to combat drug resistance and pathogens with a change in pharmaceutical focus, it says on Tuesday. The Technology for Host Resistance, that's the name of the project, affectionately acronymed THOR, T-H-O-R. I don't know. Let's look up who Thor was. I think, didn't he throw lightning bolts? Thor aims to develop technology and treatment options that aid the immune system responses to pathogens rather than replicating it by destroying the pathogens. While antibiotics have been effective in the past by merely eliminating infectious agents, the organisms have now mutated enough so that they are resistant to the antibiotics that are widely used. Quote, our aim with Thor is to lay the foundations of new treatments. Yes, lay the foundations of new treatments never before tested in humans is what that says in brackets quietly somewhere in invisible ink. That would enable the body to more easily and more safely cope with infections, says Colonel Matt Hepburn, DARPA program manager. Doesn't that make you feel good that a colonel is working on stuff for your immunity? Again, let's do a flashback, fa-ching, to reading about the bioweapons program that was discontinued in the late 60s and how the United States was focusing their future efforts on vaccinations and being able to come up with medications for those dangerous pathogens that they're tinkering with in the labs. Colonel Matt Hepburn continues, quote, among other potential advantages, these new treatments would prevent the body's overreaction to infection and buy time for the individual's natural recovery mechanisms to kick in. We want to help patients weather the storm, he said, during the critical phases of acute illness. To help lay out the technical objectives of Thor, DARPA has scheduled a Proposers Day, which will be held April 27th in, yes, the Lizard's Den, Denver, Colorado, probably in Cheyenne Mountain somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. Advanced registration is open until April 20th and available at, and they do give a link. I didn't actually go there. If successful, Thor's methodologies could lead to treatments for many life-threatening conditions and illnesses, including sepsis. The methodologies that will be discussed at the event, including finding resistant individuals of different species, as well as identifying tolerance-building mechanisms, and using that information to replicate the process. So, guys, you can see right here, right now, that is the agenda. The second that DARPA gets involved, runaway screaming, you know that it is now going to be under the guise of national security. Line up, roll up your sleeve, bend over, and give yourself to the database. Now, the one thing that I want to find, and shit, I wish I remember where I put that story. There was a story the other day that had actually looked for volunteers who were willing to line up and give all of their medical data, all their blood data, all their physical data to the database to help officials start studying genetic information, start studying looking at trends. I warned you about this. The second that all of our information ends up in a database and they are able to profile us genomically, which they're already at that critical point, but now it's the point of personal privacy. Do you own your cells or don't you? Do you have any type of reasonable sense of privacy about your health? Or is it all out there in the open? I mean, look at this mental health debate has been going on for quite a while. And with this German Wings airline crash back a few weeks ago, you know, first it was the gun owners that we were going to make sure that the psychiatrist now has the last say, that anyone who ever had any type of depression, you know, can get reported, that New York State SAFE Act, this phase two is going to require you every 5 years to go have an evaluation for your mental health. Your mental health is now everybody's concern. So with this German Wings flight, it comes out that maybe that pilot wasn't as stable as he should have been, and that he had been under the care of a a mental health professional. I see now this morning another story came out to, of course, dovetail on that. And here's the thing. As they start to make you feel now that anyone with even like depression or whatever is mentally ill and could snap out at a moment's notice, be afraid again. Be very afraid. Dial 1-800, blow in your neighbor, and make sure you tell Department of Homeland Security that your fucking next door neighbor is depressed. How many times have we seen now in the recent past someone calling for the police to go do a wellness check on someone, whether or not it's a mental health wellness check or just potentially an elderly person who lives on their own and maybe they're concerned about their well-being? And what happens? Oh, the SWAT team shows up, kicks in the fucking door while the 86-year-old is sleeping and shoots him in the face and kills his dog, Mavis. You know, I mean, this is what this is all leading to. So anyway, I see this story this morning that kind of cracked me up, but it's not really funny because it was about a new airline flight now at Air India. I don't know if you saw that. Air India, the pilots had a knockdown, drag-out brawl right before takeoff the other day. And, of course, they are now calling this co-pilot's mental health into question again. And as they put this more and more into the public eye, they're making the dumb, brainwashed, television-soaked brains of the American public now put mental health at the top of their list to be afraid of. Anyone who acts different from you, anyone who's acting a little odd should be a danger to you because they could flip out at a moment's notice. You know, here's another thing. So we've been talking about the radicalization of people over the internet. Ding, ding. ISIS is coming to get your kids over the internet. Slenderman is coming to get your children over the internet. They just arrested now, I believe it's 4 people in New York City for supposedly wanting to run off and join ISIS. And this clip that I watched yesterday, it was pretty interesting. My sister lives in New York, and she messaged me the other day stating that one of those people that they arrested in New York lived very near where she used to live, like really close. And, you know, of course, it's, oh, shock and alarm because we had ISIS in New York. But when I was watching the clip on how they caught this person, I mean, this woman was on Facebook and she was corresponding with somebody who was talking about, you know, jihad or whatever. And she's like, oh, that would be a dream. And I mean, who knows? Maybe she was a jihadi. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was trying to impress somebody and was just agreeing with them. I have no idea what the story behind it is, but because of a few comments on Facebook, they are now going full steam ahead prosecuting as a terrorist. This person didn't fucking do anything. This person made some comments on Facebook. And I mean, like I said, they could very well be some sort of jihadi, whatever. Self-radicalized, as apparently the internet is doing, which is why the FCC had to take it over, wink, wink, to make sure that any of that pesky information that's out there that allows you to be a free thinker probably won't be available for too much longer. You know, we got to make sure that we filter everything to your likes and needs based upon your search history. Unless, of course, the powers that be don't approve of your topics. I'm trying to locate here quickly. There was another story talking about Dianne Feinstein coming out deciding that now, yes, we have to ban the anarchist cookbook and the full-out glossy Anwar al-Awlaki's former al-Qaeda brochure that he put out that looked like it was very well Western funded. That was the other thing. Speaking of that, the women in New York City had a fascination for pressure cookers, they said. I'm like, come on. I gotta find that story. Shit, I just posted that, and I don't know, it's been days on end. Last week, like you said, was just a big fat blur. If I can find that really quick as I'm scrolling here, I gotta play it for you. Cause it's just like, let's see how thick you can lay on the bullshit and get people to just fall right into the belief that you're trying to formulate for them to believe. And like I said, I'm not going to say that there aren't whack jobs out there who maybe do want to strap bombs themselves and go stand out in the middle of a street corner somewhere and push the button. Hey, all the more power to you. Go do it over there. Go do it someplace. Like, go stand on a mountain if you really want to blow yourself up. Good. You know, I'm all for personal choice. If you want to do that, that's all up to you. I should have nothing to say about it as long as you don't hurt anybody else. But on the other hand, I really have a lot of trouble believing that all of these Americans have self-radicalized themselves over the internet. I just don't believe it. Here, I found it, actually. All right, let's connect. I had this all set up. I was not in the right place. All right, here. Social media leads to the arrest of potential homegrown radicals. There is also one in Pennsylvania as well. Here we go.
And we do have more disturbing signs of homegrown radicals right here on U.S. soil. Yet another woman, that's the sixth American in just the last few weeks, has been busted for allegedly trying to join ISIS overseas or even launch an attack right here in the U.S. She is from Philadelphia and was traced through her social media account where allegedly she told an ISIS fighter the opportunity, quote, would be amazing. ABC.
And all the ISIS fighters have Facebook accounts, so how fucking convenient is that? I know internet is great out in the deserts of Yemen and Iraq.
Jim Avila joining us from the White House this morning. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Paula. It's become one of our biggest homeland security threats. Americans threatening other Americans with terror, turning on their own country.
Yes, turning on their own country. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Again, 1-800, blow in your neighbor. Walmart gift card waiting for you.
To look at this exclusive video from our station in Philadelphia, WPVI, of federal agents searching the home of 30-year-old Keona Thomas. Just 2 days before, prosecutors say she was set to board a plane to join ISIS fighters overseas. Thomas, officials say, went by the name Young Lioness, allegedly even telling a known ISIS fighter that becoming a martyr would be amazing, a girl could only wish.
On Wednesday, we'll be back in court for a detention hearing and a preliminary hearing.
You know, becoming a martyr would be amazing, something for a girl could only wish. I mean, that sounds to me like she's trying to impress some dude she got all hot for online. I mean, how was she really going to board a plane? Was she going to go get a pressure cooker? They got a detention hearing going now, and they're going to prosecute. How is thought crime? I just don't understand how thought crime became a criminal act.
Now the third American woman in just 2 days arrested on terrorism charges after a sting operation Thursday captured two New York women allegedly planning to detonate a bomb somewhere on U.S. soil. According to court documents, 28-year-old Noelle Valences and fellow Queens native Asi Siddiqui, prosecutors say the pair were obsessed with pressure cookers like those used to attack in the Boston Marathon.
Ding, ding, of course. They had this pressure cooker obsession. I mean, can you lay the shit on any thicker? I just, when I see stuff like this, I want to fucking puke. I can't get over how easy it is to manipulate the puny pea brains that the American brains have become with this engineering. I mean, everything we've talked about, this whole dopamine addiction and the sucking them into the machine and into this reality, false reality of reality television to believe everything they're told, I just cannot. I mean, put on the X-ray goggles, people, and cut through the bullshit with the sharpest knife you can find.
Launch an attack on the homeland.
This is another great example of the FBI getting in front of a potential terrorist act.
Oh, it sure is. The fucking FBI, man. They are earning their keep. Woo!
You basically are able to sort of control what happens to a large extent.
Investigators say
Yes, control what happens, as they are the ISIS fighters that are probably on the other end of the chat with these New York women, and they are offering them the pressure cookers to go blow themselves up in Times Square.
Thursday's arrest was triggered when Siddiqui, who allegedly calls Osama bin Laden a hero, gathered several propane tanks along with instructions on how to turn them into explosives.
Look out! Summer's coming and propane tanks are gonna be scarce. Holy shit.
Her attorney says she plans to plead not guilty.
I know it's a serious case, but we're gonna fight it out in court.
Valente says defense did not comment.
If convicted, Thomas would serve 15 years in prison. She has not entered a plea. Dan.
Now, 15 years in prison? For what? She did, for thought crime. She didn't do anything. Like, I mean, how many of these people have they arrested now? Like, the teenagers going to the airport because they're going to go fight ISIS? You know what? If they really want to go get themselves fucking blown up, maybe we should let them go. I mean, if these people are really that dense that they want to, they think that after living here, going living in the deserts with jihadis that are now using fucking chainsaws to cut off 40 heads at a whack, hey! You know what? The world didn't need more stupid people. I hate to say it, but really, if they're that stupid, let them go. You know, my mother always said, give them enough rope. And that's what happened. Why would you arrest these people? They've done nothing, and you're going to be able to prosecute them on future crime that never occurred. I just, this stuff like this gets me so angry, and I most certainly am not standing up for a fucking lunatic jihadi somewhere that wants to kill lots of people. I'm not. But this person did nothing. All right, I'm going to end my story with, I finally yesterday found myself an hour to do a short story on anti-media. I need to do this because it really is the only way that I can make a few dollars to pay for the network, even though I have no time at all. But I'm going to read this one to you. This is on anti-media, theantimedia.org, titled Woman Faces 1 Year in Jail and a $2,500 Fine for Facebook Thugging. Make sure you pay attention to things you say, people, because I know we've talked about FedBook. We've talked about how they use it to spy on everybody, but it is gone beyond that now. It is becoming the way that they are tracking everything you say, everything you do. I just saw a story, and I already knew this, but it's come out now into the public eye about Facebook having a tracking mechanism, even when you're not logged into Facebook, it still is tracking your history of everywhere you go. And each time we either have someone who's a psychotic, like the German Wings guy who had mental problems, we have a jihadi, we have a Boston bomber. What do? Oh, we look at their computer history and we find out that they were looking up how to blow up things, or they were looking up, you know, prices on propane tanks, which makes them a criminal. All right. Woman faces 1 year in jail and $2,500 fine for Facebook thugging. Yes, no more swearing because it might offend someone. Says the apparent assault continues, and this time in Henrico County, Virginia, 26-year-old woman, Kristen Holmes, was arrested and charged with harassment by computer. Yes, that is what she was charged with, for posting a Facebook photo and exchanging vulgar messages after an argument over mistaken identity online. The photo captioned, quote, I'll post a few actual pics so you know the difference when you come, quote unquote, find me, shows Kristen, and this probably wasn't in the best taste, holding a pistol pointed at the camera. The photo was reported to police, of course, see something, say something, and they issued a warrant immediately for her arrest. According to Kevin Carroll of the Fraternal Order of Police of Virginia, even vulgar language online is considered curse and abuse, and it is covered under the disorderly conduct statute in Virginia. Quote, if it's against the law to say in public, why wouldn't it be against the law to say it on a computer, he says. Kristen is now facing up to 1 year in jail and up to a $2,500 fine if convicted of the class one misdemeanor of harassment by computer. You know, as the American public has no expectation of privacy anymore and all they do is put their entire life online, don't think that this isn't going to happen more and more. All right, last video, there was a video included with this story.
An angry message or photo on social media.
I feel like it's ridiculous because we were all guilty in the same offense.
26-year-old Kristen Holmes was just arrested, accused of harassment by computer.
And I admit I was childish and argued as well. Everybody was arguing.
Kristen says she was mistaken for another woman, so she posted this photo with the caption, "I'll post a few actual pics of me so you know the difference when you, quote, come find me." Then words were exchanged that we can't say on TV.
What happened to freedom of speech? And it was just a picture. It wasn't a threat.
And so the next time you go on Facebook, remember, Holmes admittedly posted ill-conceived things on Facebook and now faces a class one misdemeanor that could lead to a year in jail and up to a $2,500 fine.
And there's no such thing as a petty crime. There's no such thing as a petty offense.
Kevin Kick.
There's no such thing as a petty crime. There's no such thing as a petty offense.
Carol with the Fraternal Order of Police says, according to state code, using a computer to send vulgar or indecent language or to threaten illegal or moral acts could get you slapped with the same charge.
Vulgar or indecent language or what did it say? Illegal or immoral acts? What?
The same charge. You're arresting someone for using bad words?
It's actually against the law to say it in public. Okay, curse and abuse. Part of disorderly conduct statute. If it's against the law to say it in the public, why wouldn't it be against the law to say it someone through a computer?
I mean, guys, we have gotten to the point of absolute fucking nanny state beyond the nth degree. All right, we are out of time. It is Tuesday. Make sure you guys stick around. Mr. Kevin Blanch up next. And tonight, all kinds of live radio. Chuck Ocelli at 6 p.m. Eastern. 9 o'clock, Private Time with Michael and Nick. 10, Prepper Chicks After Dark, Anti-Media with S.M. Gibson at 11. And Against the Wall Replay with J.J. Inc. at 8. All right, guys, have an awesome Tuesday. We will catch up with you tomorrow. Take care.
For more news, visit pigmindnews.com.